Hey guys, it's Matt here, and I got a story for you. When I was a kid, I was playing hockey, and oh man, there was this one year, this one team, we could not beat these guys. They were all over us. They were competitive games, though. They were tight, but we just could not beat them. And I remember the last game of the year, it was up against this team, and we were gearing up. We were like, we have to get these guys. When we won that last game, it was so satisfying because we finally got the victory over the team that had dummied us, that had dominated us for so long. I think this is the same thing with sexual brokenness, with sexual sin, where there's been brokenness in our lives and the enemy has come and taken ground and he's dominated us for so long, but we get to make a difference. We get to be part of a message and a mission of freedom. It is such a cool opportunity. So I want to invite you, men and women of any age, to be part of the Action Squad. The Action Squad is something that we're putting together right now. We're looking for 100 people to be on the Action Squad. There's going to be some competitive nature to it. There's prizes. And we're going to work together to help produce a documentary that is literally going to change the world. We're featuring stories of sexual brokenness, of people who have been restored and redeemed, reconciled to God and to people in their lives. And we're going to feature these stories in this world-class documentary that will be a resource for churches to host movie nights, for small groups to watch together, for families to watch and be inspired by. And it's going to highlight the problem in the church, but also show the power of God that is at work when we bring this stuff to light. And so if you want to be part of the Action Squad and help us put this documentary together, I would love for you to go to restoredministries.ca/action squad. You can watch a 10-minute video there that I put together on what it can look like for you to join us in this mission and be part of putting this documentary together. So restoredministries.ca/action squad. Hope to see you there.
Welcome to the Pure Victory Podcast, full of hot tips to help you win at sex, conquer porn, and find purpose in staying free forever. Here are your hosts, Matt Klein and Braden Hafner.
Hey, welcome back, Pure Victory Podcast. You know, I'm starting to do that in my normal real life, eh?
Hey, Matt Klein.
Just talking to people at church. Hey. I'm like, oh man, I hope they don't listen to podcasts. And they're like, am I being interviewed right now?
Oh man, I have another story of a time that you met someone for the first time.
Should I share that today? You've been threatening for like 2 years to share this one.
Oh my goodness. Anyways, I better share it because I mentioned it.
You have to.
Okay, we'll do it now. So we were shooting this video for a conference we were doing a few years back.
We're
recording all these demo videos and all these kind of advertisements for this conference.
There were 11 sessions, so we did a 1 minute video for each, so 11 different videos.
Right. So we're in the studio working with these guys, and to make it look like every video was going to be different, we would change clothes. So we're changing shirts here every time that we do a new video, and we have this team in there filming us. Well, sure enough, this one guy comes in. He was the district coach for this particular district that we were working with.
Yeah, everybody knows Braden because he's more famous than I am. So yeah. I was the new kid on the block.
He hadn't met Matt yet. But anyways, Matt was behind this guy. His back was to Matt and he was talking to me and we were just chatting. And he pulled his shirt off to change and he tapped this guy in the shoulder, said, "Hey, Matt." So he turns around. Matt has no shirt. He's shirtless. The guy had come into the room. Matt had a shirt on. Now he turned around, no shirt.
Whoa.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, what's going on here? Is this how you introduce yourself?
Take my shirt off, stick my hand out. Jeremiah, I'm Matt. Nice to meet you.
So this is, I've been joking with him for a long time that every time he meets somebody, he has to take a shirt off. And that's just the way he does it.
it's been a long time putting up with these jokes. But
yeah. Oh man.
Our listeners know I give it to you too. So.
That's right. Oh, we have a guest on here. Poor Mark. He's having to sit through our story here. Mark, first time I met you, I'm not taking my shirt off, so we're not going to make it weird.
Great.
I want to say too, the next time I saw Jeremiah, this guy, he's funny. Jeremiah's got a good sense of humor. So the next time I saw him, I was at this coffee shop with my wife and a different couple, and then we get up and we're just like walking towards each other. Jeremiah and I are in the coffee shop, but we didn't know each other was there. So the moment we locked eyes, I started unbuttoning my shirt. And he just looked at me. He's like, "No," put his hand out. "Don't do it." That's funny. So man. I'll never live that one down at the Hafner household.
You know, there's that book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. That wasn't a chapter I read.
No, it's
Take your shirt off.
It's just something I added to it. I could modern day version.
Yeah.
We got Mark with us, who, and I love Mark. I had the opportunity to do coaching with Mark, and I see I'm changing the subject. I'm like, okay, that's enough. I had the opportunity to do some coaching with Mark earlier this year, and such a cool journey transformation. I remember when we were first starting, I couldn't stop talking about, not you, I keep things anonymous, but just your story. I was so excited about the change that we were seeing in you, and you know, some pretty dark stuff in your past, both things that you did and things that were done to you, but what God has done with that and what he's done with you, more importantly, is it's amazing. And so it was really cool for me to be able to be a part of your journey. And I just started, you know, saying to Mark, hey, you got to tell your story. And so he's had an opportunity to with different people and in his church. And now we're going to get it out here. And so I'm excited to have you, Mark. And thanks for being willing to be vulnerable with your story here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's awesome.
It's a privilege for us. And just to start off, Mark, maybe a little background. Let's get in a little background of you and kind of your story. And you can kind of go wherever you want, but we'd love to kind of get a snapshot picture of, you know, leading into your story, so to speak, of what happened in your formative years and maybe share what you want out of that.
Yeah, had a pretty rough childhood. Had a father that was very, very abusive, very emotionally, physically abusive. Would say things like, I'm disappointed in you. I just don't like what you do. You could do things better. Never really heard the words, I love you, or I'm proud of you, or I accept you. So really felt a lot of shame and just really felt unwanted. So a lot of shame came into my life. Just wasn't sure who I was. He really was pushing me into sports and athletics and really wanted me to do the things he liked to do and not what I wanted to do. So really felt a lot of pressure and just felt just out of place. Like I didn't enjoy those sports. I didn't enjoy the competition and the athletics and just felt more discouraged, more incapable, unwanted, just didn't know who I was. About the age of 8, had an encounter with a friend down the street who was a boy about the same age and started exploring things sexually and got to the point where he just got further and further into it. And he started sodomizing me and molesting me and going places I thought I'd never go to. And, you know, at first in that relationship, I felt kind of conflicted because I felt good at first. I felt the pleasure. But then it just started to hurt. And then I felt guilty. And it's like, man, this isn't something I should be doing. So a lot more shame creeped in. Just felt hurt. I didn't know who to talk to. Of course, my dad was very, you know, we don't talk about things, anything that's troubling or anything that's not positive. We don't talk about, we don't share anything outside the family. You know, you never discuss anything to anybody outside the family of what's going on, any struggles, anything in the family that's supposed to be secret, that's part of it. So I was kind of trapped. I was like, man, I feel trapped in this relationship and I don't know what to do. And
well, also Mark, also in those kinds of families where you don't talk outside the family, you often don't even talk within the family about issues that are happening, right?
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so it's all hidden. Yeah, then during that whole time, I also had an older cousin that molested me as well. So just like, man, am I, you know, then I got the feeling that I was same-sex attracted. Of course, at the time I was going to a Baptist church. We grew up in the church. My dad was a deacon, so very high up. And yeah, that was the hard part too, is having a deacon as a father that's very strict, very disciplinary, you know, so I couldn't really talk to anybody in the church about what was going on, you know, just afraid of his wrath too.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter. Trying to please my dad, please those in the church. And I really didn't feel connected to God at all. You know, I just didn't feel worthy of his love, worthy of his acceptance, worthy of any of this. Just thought I was just a very simple guy that was lost.
Right. And it makes total sense. And when you say the word lost, I'm thinking when you were growing up, like the scripture says to train up a child in the way that he should go, what that actually means is according to his bent, like how God made him to be. And when you were trying to, or your dad was trying to force you to be the kind of kid that he was, maybe, or have you, you know, excel in activities that weren't your strength, but didn't engage with you in the things that you wanted, of course you're confused, of course you're lost. And right. And then he's a deacon and all of that. I mean, to me, it makes so much sense why you got into the sexual bondage that you got into. And then you add into the confusion of sexual abuse. And, you know, it's very, very damaging, of course, for women when they are sexually abused, and it's often purely painful. And then on the male side, what you went through, it's painful, but also pleasurable too at the same time, because you have an orgasm or whatever happens. And so that's confusing. And I just sympathize for you or with you, because I understand why you would get into the things that you got into. And so if you would be willing now, would you share about the things that you got into maybe as you grew up and into your adult years, sexually speaking?
Yeah, right. Teenage years really got into pornography, really heavy. Just that was kind of my go-to. That would relieve a lot of the pain and the stress going on in my life, because it was seemed like a quick fix. But of course, then afterwards, that shame just comes over you again, and it's just a cycle. And the more shame you have, the more you want to do it. You just feel like, well, I'm not worthy, I'm not valued, so I might as well go ahead and do it. Just continue on in that. So really got into a lot of pornography and just kept getting worse and worse. Like I had to see more violent or more damaging pornography. You know, just kept getting worse and worse. You know, tried to develop relationships with a man, you know, trying to see what it is I could do sexually, but not cross the line, I guess I would say, and just was so confused and lost and didn't know what to do. And, you know, just really couldn't connect with girls. Just kind of had that fear of just that intimacy with girls. I'm not sure where that came from, but yeah, started living a double life where I would be professional, keep one side of me open to what people see. Ended up becoming a professional nurse. Worked for that about 6 years and just really succeeded in that. Really did worked hard. I mean, I really developed a career. But on the other side, I was, you know, living in pornography and trying to find sexual relations with guys. And got to the point where at the age of 35, I was arrested for voyeurism, and everything came to light. So it was publicized, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is the end. And it got to the point where it wasn't, if I was going to commit suicide, it was when. I just thought it was all over. Just that complete shame hit me. You know, I had this Dirk Darty secret for years and years. Nobody knew about. I thought I was okay with, but then when it came to light, I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. This is my life's over. Wow. But then, man, just things turned around, and that was a turning point in my life. I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing that this is the point where I can get help, since people know about it, and I could go out and say, hey, I need help. Have some good friends that say, hey, we're here for you. Let's get you some help. And got into counseling. And at first, a lot of it was behavior management, which at times, you know, it, you know, do good for a while. And then it's like, oh man, there's still something deep down in. It's the shame issue, the heart issue. And you'll do good for a while. And then things will happen that you'll have that pain that comes up in life. And then you'll want to go out and backed out again. So it's been about a 16-year journey since I've been arrested and just seeking out help and healing. And what was really cool is I was over in Thailand, you know, on missions and just really, you know, reaching out to others and helping them. And it got to the point where, you know, Thailand is very, very dark. It's got a lot of, you know, the sexual immorality, the sex slave industry, all that stuff. And I just almost felt like it was pressure to go back into that, that it felt so strong. And I thought, you know, I need to step away from this just to get out of here. So I knew deep down, so I still needed more healing, more heart, like a heart change.
And Mark, you were in Thailand on a missions trip. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I was over there for about 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought, you know, I need to step away. And that was the hardest part, is like, man, I need to step away from this mission right now, because I don't want to get sucked back into that lifestyle, you know, because the temptation was so strong there.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, I need to step back, came back, and I almost felt all those emotions again of, man, I failed. I, you know, let people down, you know. So I really didn't tell people, you know, I said, I just need to have a change, just stepping away from the ministry right now. Then just get back into healing, which was amazing. How coming back to the States and just seeking out that healing and having a good pastor mentor here that reached out and we got some help. And it's really cool to sit down with Matt, you know, was back in February this year, and just really look at the heart issues. What's driving that? And it's so amazing when you just get deep down into the heart issues of where that shame's coming from, where those, you know, looking back at all the experiences, the abuse versus the pressure from dad, and all that was like, man, just all made sense. And I was like, man, I need to just turn it all over to God.
Yeah. I remember
just realize that he does love me, that I am worthy of it.
For the first time, realizing that a father's love for you was that. I love it. I remember a light bulb moment was when we were talking about you having to leave Thailand early, and you had that shame around it, that, man, I was on doing ministry here and I had to leave early because I was going to fail again. I'm a disappointment. But
right.
But we were able to see that actually you made the wise decision to leave and flee sexual temptation and surrender to the Lord in that, whereas before you wouldn't have. And I remember the light bulb going off for you, and just it seemed like all the shame in a moment washed away when you realized that God had grown you. So that was pretty awesome. And I think those moments are really significant. Brad, and I know you had a question or something to say.
I was just curious about how God has worked in this in your life, in the sense that often when you mentioned a little bit earlier, how you felt like you're kind of living two lives, two worlds existed, and then they came colliding together when you got arrested. But I'm just curious, because often our view of God in those times is he's angry with us, he's distant, he's not there, he's not present. And that you put on this mask saying, yes, I follow Jesus, but you don't really believe it in your heart, or you're not really seeing it in your life, because you believe something about God, about the way he views you, and he's seeing all the stuff that's happening behind closed doors, and you believe these lies that he doesn't love you, he's never going to accept you. Go down the list, right? So I'm so curious how, right, for you, the journey and the process, and I know we're all on this, we're on it with you too, in the sense of receiving fully from God. But what does that look like for you to kind of bring the mask down, really let that light, that love, that acceptance wash in? How has that worked out for you in your life? And maybe just give it a comment on that.
Yeah, it's been amazing how, man, when you just really pull all that mask down, just to get rid of all the secrets and let that light shine in, it's just amazing how God just shines in and just says, hey, I know what you did. I see it. I know you. I know your story. I know your past. I know everything about you. And hey, I love you. Let's walk together in this. And it's almost like he's there, and you know, you have that Holy Spirit that's in you, that's guiding you and convicting you. I know that's, the Holy Spirit was really strong when I was in Thailand, where, you know, we need to get out of here. And just go out and get away and seek that healing and help. And it's real, what really helps is really sharing with friends. Like I have a couple good friends that I'm accountability partners with, and we just share what our struggles are and our stories. And it's just amazing how the one guy never knew he had the same type of story with his father, the abuse, and how we connected and shared and thought, man, we're not alone. There's other guys struggling. There's other ones. And that's a big thing with shame. It's shame once you think, man, you're alone. You're the only one dealing with this. You're the only one who's sexually addicted or struggling or sinful, and there's no hope for you, but there is. There's other guys struggling, and it's just amazing when we tell our stories. I mean, I shared my testimony at church a couple weeks ago, and even had people connecting and say, hey, I want to hear more about that. And, you know, I know somebody or they themselves have struggled with things, and it's like, man, just the light opens that people see that there is hope.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And I started a quick follow-up to Mark. Ahead. Often, and I was curious your perspective on this, because often when we're battling maybe sexual addiction or brokenness in this area, we feel like we got to clean up our life first before we can come to God. And you've experienced something different, obviously. Can you just speak to maybe that? Because I know there's people that listen that maybe are battling that mindset right now. I got to clean my house up. I got to get everything in order before I can come to God, before I can come to Jesus. So maybe just express your experience and what you would say to that.
Yeah, I would say, yeah, he's there. He's open. You don't have to clean it up. I mean, just come to him and he walks you through that process. He's there with you. And it is amazing. A couple weeks ago, I watched The Heart of Man. I'm not sure if you guys have seen that movie.
Yeah, my wife loves that movie. She tells everyone about it.
And just, man, just to see the raw testimonies and the stories and how they thought they were alone and just living in shame and the guilt and that they would never be accepted by God, or, you know, they felt like those prodigals, the prodigal son that's living in the pig pen. And it's like, man, I had it better back in my father's house. Had to run back to him. And it's really cool.
That's awesome. I love people being able to see on the other side of God when you encounter God, you meet God for real in your sin and darkness. And then we can see, just, you know, like, you have a smile on your face often, you feel lighter, you seem lighter. It's awesome. But back then, I think a lot of us don't understand what's in the mind of someone who's doing this stuff. And so I'm curious for you, like, you got arrested at 35 for voyeurism. You talk about with pornography, it had to get worse and worse and worse, get more and more violent. Obviously, it came out for you, not just in front of a screen or magazines or whatever, but it was in real life with voyeurism. And so what was going through your mind? Do you remember that when you're doing that, you probably had some awareness, I'm assuming maybe, that it was illegal, but what was going through your mind? Like, what justifications were there to engage in that behavior? Do you remember?
I think I was walking through the stories too with a counselor a while ago, and they, you know, were walking through that and, you know, those experiences I experienced with that friend back when I was 8, 9 years old. It's almost like I just wanted to repeat that I wanted to get back into where I was in that place of, you know, being very hurt in the home and abused and lost, but I felt accepted with that friend. He actually paid attention to me and we actually hung out together, but it was destructive when we did it, but I just felt accepted during that time. So it's almost like I was going back in. I was wanting to repeat that I wanted to stay in that place of acceptance and value, which I found in the guys or the closeness there. And so I think that's it, that it's just want to repeat that. And
it was like a sense of comfort for you.
Yeah, there's that. And that's part of it too, is there's that risk of getting caught. But that's almost like how would you say it? It's almost like
a thrill.
Part of it, like, because that's what we thought too, is, man, we're going to get caught by mom, you know, having these sexual situations. Just that it was overridden by just the act itself, like, okay, there's that risk. That's almost like a fantasy too. Like, oh, cool, we could get caught, but hey, we didn't before, so let's just keep going and going. And I mean, there's that risk, but you still, then you get to the point where you think, oh, I will never get caught, that you've overridden that. And
yeah. Well, and those experiences that you went through in your formative years, it's so amazing. I mean, with the stories we've heard and different things that have been shared to us and what we've heard, you're not alone in what you've been through, Mark. So many out there have gone through some sort of trauma or abuse, things that happened. And many people never reach out to get help. They stuff it down, they push it down and hope, because it happened so long ago, that and they never have to revisit again or just hide from it. They're running their away from it from their whole life. And maybe just speak to that, Mark, because I know a lot of people, especially when it comes to sexual trauma, they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to relive through that. And but what would you say to that? Because it sounds like you've done the hard work of revealing these things, talking about it, and inviting the Holy Spirit to work in these areas instead of stuffing it underneath the proverbial rug of your life so that no one will ever look underneath. So just speak to that. You know, what would you say to somebody who maybe has gone through some stuff and they don't want to deal with it?
It is really worth it to dive into those stories. We have those stories of the hurt, of the abuse, or the sexual acting out. We have all those stories, but God wants to write a new story that he wants to go in and say, hey, that's not you. I mean, when we come to Christ, we become a new creation. So we got to rewrite a story. We got to have something new. And it's cool. I thought that was going to be the scariest thing, is to go back in and look at the abuse and, you know, tell those stories. But it was so freeing just to get into that and realize that it was pain. It was a lot of pain, a lot of stuff happening there. But, you know, God is there walking with us as we rewrite those stories, that it's okay to go in and look at that pain and that hurt, and even go in and look at why things happen, and, you know, to look at that and even get to the point. And I never thought I would forgive my dad. That was something I never thought I would. And an amazing story is, I was in Thailand, you know, on missions, and I, you know, came back home one Christmas just to, you know, just kind of relax and, you know, do some fundraising. Came home and my dad said, hey, I want to meet up with you to have lunch with you. And I thought, oh my gosh, do I want to do this? So I agreed to have lunch with him. And for the first time, he told me about his dad. His dad was the same way. He's very abusive, very, very strict, didn't show love, was almost a mirror image of what my dad was. Like, wow. That really opened up, like, man, there's something to this, that, man, he was just doing what his dad did to him. I never met my grandpa, but he just opened up, and I never saw him open up like that before. And just really was able to voice what I felt, the pain and the hurt. And it got to the point during those couple weeks that I was here, got to the point where I could forgive him. I understood what he went through, what his story was, and went back to Thailand. And about 2 months later, my mom calls and says, well, dad's in the hospital. Says, oh man, do I need to come home? Said, no, I'll keep you posted. Then that next week, I planned to go ahead and fly back home. And I was in Bangkok and got the message from my mom that dad passed away. And I was like, oh my gosh. Wow. I was in tears. I never thought I would just be in so tears of that loss of my dad. I was like, wow. I just felt those emotions. And I'm so grateful that I was able to forgive him and have that moment where he, you know, was reaching out. He said, I need to talk to you. And I said, yes. And
wow,
that's a big thing, is that healing comes from forgiveness as well.
Yep.
Totally. That's incredible. I love that God set that up and that you took it and that your dad took it. And, oh, what a beautiful story. I know too, God has opened doors for you to be able to impact other people too, others who have been abused mm-hmm. or others who have not been aware of what happens maybe because you've spoken publicly in your church. I remember one time even there was a person you were talking about who had been abused. I thought maybe you could reach out and you were just kind of waiting. You didn't feel like it was the right time. And then they reached out to you. You want to speak to that and just kind of what happened there?
Yeah. I was like, I really need to talk to this person. Just tell her kind of about the abuse. Cause I saw her in a situation where she's abused as well and stuff. And I felt bad cause I wasn't there to protect her and stuff. And I had a lot of guilt too. And I was like, man, I really need to talk to her and just have been going through this healing process with Matt and telling stories and shit. Man, I really need to visit with her. And so I was going to reach out to this one week and here she ended up calling up saying, hey, do you want to go have coffee? It's like, wow, here's the opportunity. Cause I haven't talked to her for many years or many months before that. It's like, hey, let's do it. And so we sat down and had coffee and, shared what was on my heart. And she's like, man, yeah, we've talked about that abuse before, but man, just thank you for just opening up and reaching out. And, she also expressed, the forgiveness as well, that, it's, being a one that should have been there to protect wasn't there and understood why. And
I love how God has just worked healing from all angles in these stories.
Right.
Yeah.
It's cool how he'll, if there's somebody that you need to forgive, they'll start coming to mind. It's like, wow. And there's times those opportunities open up. It's like, wow, it's so cool.
Yes, it is. And it's so freeing when we engage in that process of forgiveness, how powerful the release is, but also how it moves us to a place where we can have hopefully some reconciliation or even repair in some of these broken areas, like with others, right? So that's incredible. I'm just curious, Mark, kind of your last thoughts, if you were to just share with everybody listening out there, what would you like to pass on to them? Because so many people have stuff in their life, we all do, that sometimes we feel a lot of hurt or shame or pain around, and we don't want to talk about it, or we don't think there's hope, or we don't know how we're going to move past it. And maybe it's presenting itself through addiction like pornography or masturbation or other things. So based on your story, what you've been through, what would you share to somebody like that who's listening? Because it's so hopeful hearing your story.
Yeah, man, there is hope. There is hope. And man, there's times where you don't feel loved or valued or worth it. You are worth it. You are valued. God sees you, he knows you, he knows your story, he knows your history, he knows everything about you, and he wants the best for us. He loves us. And what really helped me is really to go through and just meditate on Psalms 51, just going in that was David's out crying that prayer of repentance when he was caught in adultery and even had the guy killed, and he just poured out his heart to God. And just said, wash me, God, cleanse me. And he does, he steps in. And it's so cool when we just let that shame wash away, that we are valued, we are accepted, we are loved. And then you start reading the scriptures and you realize that it is true, that there is no condemnation, that we are a new creation, that God is for us, that there is hope, that there's people out there that have experienced the same things you have, and they're there. And it's so cool when you start praying for those opportunities or to connect with somebody that they'll come into your life. I've even seen that in the mission field where I've had people that have shared the same type of story or testimony, and we end up in the same room together or at the same table, in a restaurant somewhere. And it's like, wow.
Amazing.
So amazing. God's the orchestrator. He brings people together that need to be brought together.
Amazing. So you were a young boy, you were lost, you had a father who was abusive and didn't value who you were abused and violated by a friend, you were stuck in porn, you got arrested for voyeurism, a lot of shame, a lot of confusion, and now you're free in Christ, you're fully loved, you're accepted, And not only are you, but you know that, and you're living in that, and God is using your story. Just like it says in Psalm 51, that it says, once we're restored, then David writes, then I will teach transgressors your ways. Sinners will turn back to you. And that's what you're doing. So, Mark, I love you. I love this story. I honor you just in being willing to be vulnerable and have your story be used by God. So thanks so much for sharing today.
Yeah, thank you for this opportunity.
All right. Well, have a great week, and we'll chat soon.
Thanks for listening. If you would like to hear more, please visit purevictorypodcast.com to subscribe. This podcast was made possible by the generous donations of our subscribers. If you would like to help support the cause financially, once again, please visit purevictorypodcast.com.